Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
When the disciples saw Jesus and they stand before Him, how do they respond even though they've walked with Him, even though by this point they would have seen Him before? They worship Him. They worship Jesus. They're in awe of Him. And that's exactly what happens to anyone who realizes that Christ is before them. I used to think, you know, when God's here, worship happens. And I've said that. Maybe I said it last week in talking about worship. But that's not necessarily true. We have to acknowledge Him. Because God's here. God is here.
What is your response when God calls you to action? Pastor Troy outlines three simple steps every believer must take when God speaks. And we will learn that true worship begins when we acknowledge God for who He really is. A holy, righteous God who stands ready to redeem us. Respond to His calling today. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
So we're going to touch on the three R's today. The three R's, not reading, writing, and arithmetic. I saw the tension in the room. I'm not even on Sunday. We're going to talk about the need to respond and the call to represent and the reason to relax. Relax. That's one thing some Christians don't do or can't do. We're going to talk about why. So verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Some doubted. Now what? Respond. See, Jesus, He's already died. He told His disciples before He died that He wanted to meet with them in Galilee after He was raised. It was in Matthew 26. He said, after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. We're going to have a meeting. And then the angel, if you remember when the women come to the tomb and it's empty, the angel reminds the women, He's going to meet you in Galilee. Tell the disciples, He's going to meet them in Galilee. As if that wasn't enough, Jesus will tell them also. As they're running back, he meets with the women. He says, tell the disciples, I'm going to be in Galilee. You know, let's meet in Galilee. Very clear message from Jesus. Now, before Jesus had met with everyone in Galilee, He actually makes some appearances throughout Jerusalem. He makes different appearances. One of those appearances, by the way, was to the women who were on their way back to remind them and say, don't fear, go tell the disciples I'm alive and to meet me in Galilee. But He also makes Himself available or visible and approachable to others and the disciples while still in Jerusalem. Because it seems like Jesus knows that His disciples are very, very slow to get anything. And so here's this, we're going to meet in Galilee. Angel, tell them we're meeting in Galilee. Girls, now Jesus appears to them. I want you to tell the disciples we're going to meet in Galilee. And He gets His message out. And so they're meeting now in this place Jesus had told them to meet. Matthew skips a lot of information, the different encounters they had with Him before. But Matthew's goal is to show you that Jesus was a prophet of God. He's the Messiah. And so he basically tells you, He said He's going to meet you in Galilee, and then He meets Him in Galilee. That's Matthew's goal here. And so here we are as Jesus is meeting with them in Galilee. When the disciples saw Jesus and they stand before Him, How do they respond, even though they've walked with him, even though by this point they would have seen him before? They worship him. They worship Jesus. They're in awe of him. And that's exactly what happens to anyone who realizes that Christ is before them. I used to think, you know, when God's here, worship happens. And I've said that. Maybe I said it last week in talking about worship. But that's not necessarily true. We have to acknowledge him. Because God's here. God is here. God's out there in the pagan world also, trying through his Holy Spirit to convict men and draw them to himself. So he's here. But it's the acknowledging of him, the acknowledging that he is here, that causes our worship. We could stand here and we could sing songs and not worship. You know, singing the song and lipping them and mouthing them and even smiling is not worship. That's called singing. And you can get emotional singing. Certain word touches your heart. I mean, you go to certain concerts and they got the little lighters out and they're crying because of the lyrics and everything. And it's not Christ. It's something's touching them. Worship isn't something that touches you. Worship is acknowledging that he's in front of you, that he is here. You know what happens when you do that? You forget all about them. You really do. Because he's big. He's awesome. And you realize you're a sinner before a holy God. And that, when you get there, that causes worship. So they worship him. All of the disciples ultimately believed. All the disciples ultimately believed. But we do know there were some who did have their doubts about his resurrection. Thomas, for one, the most famous. I mean, his name is Doubting Thomas. His first name is Doubting. Last name is Thomas. And now, if you doubt, you're called a Doubting Thomas. I mean, he never got to live it down. But let me tell you something about Thomas. He wasn't the only one who doubted. The other disciples, when the women came back and said, "He's alive, he's risen." "No, it's not true. I don't believe you." They doubted too, just as much as Thomas did. But what happened for Thomas was he wasn't there. He wasn't around all the other disciples when Jesus showed up. "Here I am." They're all, "It's a ghost." You know, they're scared. They see him. They finally acknowledge, "It's him. It's crazy. It's amazing." And then they try to tell this to Thomas, who wasn't there. And so they pass this on to Thomas. And Thomas was like, I just can't believe. Thomas was one of those who was born in Missouri, you know. "Show me. I got to see it." And so Thomas was like, I can't believe. Because unless I see, unless I touch, I just can't believe it. He had had so much expectation, and now he was so discouraged. He didn't want to put his hopes in it again. And so Jesus understands that with Thomas. So he appears to him. And he actually tells Thomas, "Look at my hands. You know, touch my wounds. Don't be unbelieving, but believe." At which point, Thomas makes the greatest profession of faith, greater than all the other disciples, when he says, "My Lord and my God." That wasn't an exclamation. That was what he professed Jesus to be. We all have an appointed meeting place with Jesus where he wants to make himself real to us, not just a religion. It's a place where he reaches out to us, and it's as if he's right here because he is. It's as if he's talking to me personally because he is. We all have those appointed places. For me, it was an altar call at a church service, where for the first time in my life, I was faced with an altar call. Growing up, I loved God. I believed in God. But I had never faced this question: if you want to give your life to him, if you want to follow him, if you want to commit your life to him, come forward. And it was the very first time for me where my faith was actually challenged. Do you really believe? Because I felt like everything was on the line. And for me, and that's why I believe in altar calls, it was a good challenge. And I'll tell you what, I didn't go forward that day because I felt there was too much to give up. Like, I can't make this decision hastily. But I'll tell you what, that week, I looked forward to church the next week. I said, I got to go to church so I can go forward. I got to do this. This is what God wants me to do. I've got to do it. And I felt there was, for the first time, I actually not rejected that I believed in Him, but I didn't choose Him. I couldn't put my faith in Him. And for me, it was a good challenge. It was a good moment. And by what God has done in my life since then, and not even directly after that, I mean, there was time of struggle, and you're a new believer, and there's lots of time of struggle, but God has done a work in my life. I had a friend who was saved after watching Nostradamus. That was his moment, right after Nostradamus. Now, Nostradamus' video didn't save him, so don't run out and get your Nostradamus video. But the video of Nostradamus, who's this occultic prophet, making these weird predictions that came close to true, pretty accurate, enough for us to go, wow, that's uncanny, but still with enough error to go, that's not God. He watched his video, it freaked him out. There's dark powers, man, this is crazy. There is a dark side. And so he came after me. And he says, I need to go to church. Can I go? I know you're going to church. Can I go with you? And so he comes to church. He gives his life to the Lord. So God used even that to have a personal encounter with my friend. I was saved at Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque. And I remember hearing the testimony of my pastor there, Skip Heitzig. He said he was basically just watching a Billy Graham video. It was a live video, but it was a live service, but he just gave his life there. And God did an amazing thing. Raul Reese is a pastor of a Calvary Chapel in Diamond Bar, California. And he gave his life to the Lord in a moment where his life was falling apart. He was worried about his wife who was leaving him. He was a man with a lot of rage pent up inside of him. Took martial arts, had gone to war. And at that moment, he had had a rifle. It was loaded. He was sitting in the corner with rage in his heart. And when his wife came in that door, he was going to kill her and then himself. It happened that in his anger and waiting for her, he bashed the TV with the butt of the rifle, sat down, and the TV had kicked on, and it was Chuck Smith, Pastor Chuck Smith. And he gave his life to the Lord, and two lives were spared. We don't know when we've given our life to the Lord, though maybe we weren't out there with rage, how many lives have been spared. We know what we were capable of. I know how many dumb things I did in the name of having fun. I wonder I'm still alive, some of the decisions I made. We all have our appointed meeting place with Jesus, where He becomes real. It's the place where He reaches out to you. But guess what? It's up to you to respond. You've got to respond. He reaches out, and the question is, will you worship? Will you respond? Or will you doubt? Will you walk away? Will you acknowledge, yeah, there's some major force, major conviction here, but I don't want it. See, if you want to believe in Him, if you really want to, is this true? Can I follow You? Is this truth, this word? And you have doubts in your heart about it. I mean, genuine, sincere doubts. He has no problem with that. Just like Thomas. He has no problem with that. And He will reveal Himself to you. You just speak to Him. You just talk to Him. Lord, I'm struggling. And He'll have no problem. What He will not do is if you go, I've got things I want to hold on to. I'm not going to change them unless You prove Yourself to me. You prove Yourself to me. You show Yourself. You show me something. Then I'll change. But if that's your heart, He has nothing for you. Has nothing for you. So, will you worship or will you doubt? Listen, at some point for you, the knocking might stop. His knocking, His drawing you, His bringing those Christian people into your life, reminding you that He is here, So Jesus, for the sake of his disciples and their growth and their future call, as especially laying the groundwork for the church, Jesus uses many appearances. And he used many appearances to, one, build the faith of the disciples. Because this is all new to them. Jesus was walking with them, and he wasn't dead. Now he's dead, but he's not dead. He's raised from the dead, which gives hope. He also made many appearances to teach them that though he's not with them, he's still accessible. He's still there. And so he pops in, scares them to death, but he pops in. Because they need to learn this new way of living. And by the way, he also makes these appearances to help them learn to keep walking by faith even without him physically around. This is new for them. We have these encounters with him where he is so real. We need to hold on to those. Build your faith on that encounter. Because he's not always every single day going, "I'm real, aren't I? I'm real, aren't I? I'm real, aren't I? I'm real, aren't I?" So that you're walking going, "Okay, you're real. I forgot, are you real? Oh, good, you're real. I forgot, are you real?" And every day he's not doing that. So we have to look back. We have to remember those encounters throughout our life where he has shown himself to be very real. And not trust our feelings, but to trust the Lord. Amen. I give an amen to that. Because my own feelings, there are times I have, not in a long, 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 long time, but throughout my life, there have been times I think I got a solid walk, and then he asks me to do some major thing, and I go, "All right, if you're not real, this is a dumb thing. I'm only doing this because I believe in you." So it's not necessarily a questioning, but it's kind of like, if you're not real, I'm living a foolish life here. So he's building up their faith to teach them to walk without him physically around, and also to instill in them a sense of the mission going forward. There's more they're going to do. The foundation of the church, they're going to be it. That's a burden, to be the foundation of the church. I mean, you know, a foundation, everything's built on it. It carries the weight. And these men will give their lives to build this foundation. So, verse 18, we see the mission. Verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" That is good news. So now what? Well, represent. Now represent. You responded? Now represent. It says, go make disciples. You know, anytime you say something, you can put an emphasis and it changes everything. And in this case, we have a phrase where the emphasis is important. The emphasis is not on the word go. Although I have missionary friends who try to really make me know that go, you got to go, go, go. Jesus said go, like I forget that part. But the emphasis is actually on make disciples. Not make converts, but make disciples. That's the emphasis here. And the idea is this. As you go, wherever you go, as the Lord leads you, witness and make disciples wherever you go. So if you go to your job, witness and make disciples. If you go to another country, go make disciples, witness. If you go across the street to spend time with your neighbors, witness, make disciples. If you go visit family, witness, make disciples. See, Jesus' call here is not something you go to do. It's something you do wherever you go. And there's a big difference. Because when you go to do something, it's like, okay, put the hat on. I'm at work. Oh, take the hat off. I'm not there anymore. But when it's something you do wherever you go, you're never off. Because wherever you are, wherever you go, there you are. Kind of philosophy, isn't it? It's weird. It's not in the Bible, but it's true. And we are called wherever we go. That's the point here. And before this group goes, because this group, they're the apostles. They are the ones who are sent. They will leave everything. They will go to the uttermost parts of the world. But he says, before you do that, wait. Go, wait. It's Luke chapter 24, in verse 49. They're waiting for the power from on high is what they're waiting for. Luke 24, 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. We don't have to wait like they did for the Holy Spirit, because this was the first outpouring. We receive the Holy Spirit upon that encounter where we say, I believe. I will follow you. He says, good, you're going to need something. And he gives us his Holy Spirit, a guarantee of our inheritance and the power to do anything. You think of anything you think you can't do and that God's asked you to do, and you're the one who's wrong. You can do it. Anything. But I don't have enough strength. Then he didn't ask you to do it. Or you have enough strength. Both cannot be true. So we wait for this power from on high, but now we get the Holy Spirit right away. We don't have to go off and go, all right, I'm waiting for the power, waiting for the power, waiting for the power. You have it. However, we do need to spend time with the Lord each and every day we go. Wherever we go. We need to be filled, again, refreshed in the Holy Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit prepares you. The Holy Spirit guides you. The Holy Spirit can put things in your path and in your mind so that you have the right perspective going into something. And you're not caught off guard. You're prepared for it. He gives you what you should say. You don't have to be afraid of that. He teaches you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who causes you to bear fruit. If you're trying to bear fruit of your own abilities and own natural talent and charisma, that's going to be false fruit. And shallow fruit, by the way. If I tried to build this work on my charisma, first, it wouldn't go anywhere. But second, if I did, then what happens when something happens to me? The church falls apart. But if it's built on Christ, then guess what? You know, of course we hate losing people. We hate things that happen. But if I'm removed, we're fine. We're to build on Christ, not on people. And the Holy Spirit causes us to bear fruit, real fruit. This is a time in the morning with the Lord that we need. It's one morning staff meeting you don't want to miss. And how often we do. There's a little book, I think we have some still, but it's a great one to have around. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it's a devotional little book, and it talks about how we've invited Christ in, and there are different rooms and different activities in different rooms, and the Lord wants to minister to all of those areas, but then there's this little closet that we have. It's like, you can do anything, Lord, but don't have this closet. And it's a great little devotional book. But in one of the stories, the guy is talking about, you know, getting in a hurry in life, and he's rushing out the door every day to work, doesn't have a whole lot of time. And finally, one day, just out of the corner of his eye, he sees Jesus in there in the front room, in the guest, in the living room or wherever, as he's going out the door, and he stops and he goes, oh, wait a minute, we haven't really been getting together. And I was the one who invited you, and I've been neglecting you. And so Jesus' words were, you know, I'm here every morning.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have